Welcome to the deep dive. For this analysis, we've stacked up some sources, articles, research papers, executive commentary, all pointing to the same critical collision point.
The arrival of artificial general intelligence, AGI.
Exactly. But we're not looking at AGI like some, you know, distant sci-fi fantasy.
No, not at all.
The sources we have really treat it like the editor of Nexus framed it. He said AGI is now a deadline with a debate attached.
And that framing, that's really our mission today. We're synthesizing a whole range of material, everything from, you know, technical projections from Google DeepMind to the social friction mapped by Pew Research.
And even some philosophical shifts from leaders like Satya Nadella.
Right. The goal is to get at this really urgent question that I think is facing all of us, which is, to what extent do we actually trust these intelligent machines?
Mm-hmm.
The ones we're so rapidly weaving into, I mean, the very foundations of our daily lives.
And what just jumps out immediately is this fascinating tension across all the reports.
It's a real paradox.
It is. On one hand, you've got this incredible technological acceleration towards the AGI deadline. I mean, probably faster than any of us really grasp. But then, set against that speed, there's this sudden, intense drift.
A cultural drift, a corporate drift.
Yeah, back towards shoring up what we're calling human essentials. It's like, the faster the computer gets, the more we have to invest in being, you know, fundamentally human.
It's the ultimate counter-reaction. And if we want to understand the urgency of that pivot back to human skills, we have to start with a technical pace. So let's unpack the AGI horizon itself.
Okay, so let's start with the people who are actually pushing that frontier. I'm thinking specifically of Shane Legg. He's the co-founder and chief AGI scientist at Google DeepMind.
Right. He gives us a really useful way to think about it, a kind of continuum for how intelligence evolves.
He helps define what AGI even is, which is helpful.
It is. It starts with what he calls minimal AGI. That's basically achieving human-level cognitive capability right across the board.
So that's the threshold where the machine can do pretty much any cognitive task a human can.
Exactly. And then you move from there into full AGI, which is maybe more generalized. And then eventually you get to the sci-fi level of artificial superintelligence, or ASI.
That distinction, minimal AGI, that's the one that's important here, because that's the milestone Legg actually puts a number on. And it's not a big one.
And this is what's so fascinating. The proximity. Legg's prediction is a 50-50 chance of hitting minimal AGI by 2028.
Wait, hold on. 2028?
2028.
I mean, that proximity just fundamentally changes the whole conversation. That's not some distant date. That's, what, 4 Christmases from now?
Yeah.
If that's the reality, then we are absolutely in a deadline environment.
And he justifies that urgency. He notes that while AI performance today is, you know, it's uneven, it can beat humans in really narrow areas, like a specific game or something.
Yeah.
It still lags in 2 critical areas. Continual learning, so where it's just constantly updating its knowledge, and advanced reasoning. And he says, bridging those gaps will be so transformative that we have to treat ethical and safety work as an urgent necessity right now, not some future problem.
But that optimism, it just runs straight into a really firm counterargument, right? Especially from the skeptical camp about the foundation of all this.
The large language models, LLM.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have key voices like Benjamin Riley arguing that current LLMs will never achieve true AGI. He says their very architecture creates a hard ceiling they just can't get past.
Why is he so certain about that hard ceiling? What's the core of that argument?
The nuance here is really crucial. Riley argues that LLMs are just tools built to emulate communicative language. That's it. They're just incredibly sophisticated statistical engines that predict the next most probable word.
Okay.
But human thought, that's a separate cognitive process. That's what you need for AGI, the ability to actually model the world and reason about it.
So the machine might sound like it's reasoning, but really it's just speaking the most statistically likely sequence of words.
Precisely. And this isn't just a theory. It's backed up by neuroscience. There's research that suggests thinking is independent of language. I mean, they point to cases where reasoning ability is kept even when someone's linguistic capacity is severely damaged.
And that connects back to the probabilistic design you mentioned. For anyone listening, what does that mean in, like, practical terms? Why does that stop real novelty?
Think of it like a giant, super sophisticated averaging machine. Its whole job is to calculate the most probable outcome based on all the data it's seen.
Right.
So it's fundamentally limited to generating, you know, average or formulaic results. It's always finding the path of least resistance through its existing knowledge. It can't make those truly novel leaps, which is why people like Jan LeCun say we need to shift to non-language-based world models if we ever want to reach true intelligence.
That makes the technical debate crystal clear. So whether AGI is landing in 2028 or if LLMs have hit a wall, the technology is already here and changing everything. And that naturally pulls us away from the technical argument and into the social reality. The tech is here, but the trust maybe isn't.
That's the perfect segue. If we connect this technical debate to the bigger picture, the trust gap becomes the main story. And the findings from the 2025 Edelman Trust Barometer flash poll are, well, they're stark.
What's the core tension they found?
The core challenge is that trust in AI lags way behind the general faith people have in the tech sector overall. So people love their phones, they love their apps, but they're skeptical of the intelligence driving them.
And the skepticism isn't the same everywhere, is it? I saw there was a deep geographical split, and it was kind of counterintuitive.
Absolutely. It's a huge divide. Developed markets are actually resisting AI more than developing nations. And on top of that, there's a socioeconomic split. Lower income groups are more afraid of being left behind, you know, worried about job displacement.
Let's stick with that geographic split for a second. Why would populations in the developed world who have high-tech literacy show more resistance?
It seems to come down to expectation and opportunity. In established markets, AI is seen mainly as a force of disruption. It threatens existing jobs, existing systems.
Whereas in developing nations,
it's seen as a force for leapfrogging development. It gives them rapid access to expert knowledge, personalized education, medical diagnostics, things that were impossible before because of infrastructure limits. So it's seen less as a threat and more as an equalizer.
That makes a lot of sense. So if you're a leader in a company right now, how do you bridge that trust gap, especially with your own employees?
Well, the Edelman data gives a really practical answer. Enthusiasm for AI isn't built from, you know, glossy press releases. It is strongly driven by knowledge and personal experience.
Ah, so when people actually use it and see a benefit.
That's it. Trust goes up dramatically when people, especially employees, see AI actually improve their productivity and solve real problems in their daily work. It's not about promises, it's about demonstrations.
So what's the takeaway for leaders?
It's that you have to understand the trust hierarchy. People trust their peers and scientists far more than they trust CEOs or government leaders on this topic.
Yeah.
So if you're leading a team, you need your internal champions, your engineers, your most productive people, to be the ones showing the real safe ethical value of these tools.
That trust hierarchy is really illuminating. Now let's contrast that with the Pew Research Center report. They looked at the general public versus the experts. Do the people building the machines share the public's anxieties?
And this is where it gets really interesting. Pew found a clear enthusiasm gap. AI experts are far more positive, far more enthusiastic about AI's impact on jobs, the economy, personal life, all of it, compared to the general American public. The people closest to the check have less fear.
Okay, but if the experts are so optimistic, why should we trust their view? I mean, aren't they inherently biased? They're building it, they're profiting from it.
That's a necessary critical question, for sure. And while the report doesn't offer a direct answer, it does show that the public skepticism isn't just, you know, coming from nowhere. But it also shows they aren't totally polarized either. There is important shared ground.
What consensus did they find between the two groups?
Both the public and the experts share a pretty significant worry that government regulation of AI is going to be insufficient. And both groups overwhelmingly want more personal control over the technology, like a dial they can turn.
That desire for control is a powerful signal. And they both acknowledge the representation problem in AI design too, right?
Yes. Both groups recognize that the perspectives of men and white adults are much better represented in AI design than other demographic groups. And that shared awareness, that's a clear area for immediate action to build public confidence.
Okay, so we've got this lightning fast technical deadline on one side and a widespread public trust deficit on the other. And it seems to stem from fear of disruption and a lack of control. If that's the landscape, then the solution has to lie in what the machines can't do.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the third core theme we saw in every single source, this sudden, profound focus on the human essential.
This is the consistent, overwhelming theme. AI is great at massive speed, rapid personalization, accessibility, but it fundamentally struggles with the most essential human quality.
Like what?
Nuance, cultural awareness, moral context, and crucially, empathy.
Let's unpack the strategy behind that. Yayla Raber's argument is no AI without Ekai human intelligence, the idea being that since AI tools are becoming universal, they're not the competitive edge anymore.
Exactly. If every company can access an AI that writes perfect code, the real differentiator shifts to the HI they have.
Mm.
The value is now in the human capacities that AI cannot replicate.
And what are those key capacities?
They are things like judgment, ethical clarity, innovation, and risk mitigation. These are the non-automatable skills. Raber's framework is really interesting because it expands the definition of HI to include things like mind, body, emotions, and intuition.
So it's not just about being book smart.
Not at all. It forces organizations to think about emotional stamina and intuitive judgment as essential investable assets. It's about ensuring intelligent speed and direction.
And the clearest, most vocal proponent of this return to the human element has to be Satya Nadella. The CEO of Microsoft has put an incredibly fine point on which human essential matters most.
He has. Nadella states it so bluntly. He says, IQ without EQ, it's just a waste of IQ. He has clearly positioned emotional intelligence, empathy, self-awareness as the essential workplace superpower for leaders in this new AI landscape.
That's such a powerful quote because it reframes the whole discussion. It's not machine versus human anymore. It's human potential amplified. So if the machine is doing the IQ heavy lifting, why is EQ suddenly more valuable than ever?
Because the machine can handle, say, 80% of the data processing and the routine tasks. That leaves the humans to manage the critical 20% that requires dealing with ambiguity, conflict, motivation, ethical choices.
Ah.
Empathy is what lets you handle a difficult client, resolve a team dispute, or make a nuanced ethical call that protects the brand's reputation long term.
So future workplace is a genuine human-AI symbiosis. It's not a replacement model.
Absolutely. AI must amplify human learning, not replace it. Skills like EQ, critical thinking, intercultural competence, they remain irreplaceable. Technology can deliver knowledge with speed, but human connection is what transforms that knowledge into lasting capability and resilience.
And if we look at the commentary from entrepreneur.com, this isn't just some soft leadership theory anymore. EQ is now being called the most powerful, invisible, and irreplaceable competitive advantage in business.
The old business paradigm was simple, right? Scale fastest, optimize for efficiency. But this new paradigm, it redefines success. It's now about the ability to scale while simultaneously deepening your emotional density and cultural memory.
That line, deepening emotional density, that's really profound, especially in the context of high-speed global business. It sounds like the key to staying grounded.
It is. The sources suggest that the brands that endure won't be the ones that just shouted the loudest with AI-generated content. They'll be the ones that listen deepest to the unspoken needs of their customers and their employees. In an automated world, sincerity becomes the ultimate differentiator.
So the bottom line is, while we're speeding towards AGI, the actual competitive advantage remains exclusively human.
Yes. Treating empathy as a KPI, a key performance indicator, and sincerity as strategy. That's what creates permanence, not just profit. The piece ends with this fantastic metaphor. Leadership, like perfume, is invisible yet unforgettable. You just can't automate the smell of trust.
That is an excellent way to cap off this deep dive. We started with Shane Legg's urgent AGI deadline of 2028, moved through the trust gap in the Edelman and Pew data, and ended up at this realization that human capacity, HI, and EQ is the critical factor.
The through line is undeniable. The acceleration of AI has forced us to look inward and define what is truly essential. In a way, the machines are forcing us to become better humans.
And as we close, I want to leave you with that powerful invitation from the editor of Nexus that framed this whole discussion. It really feels like the perfect blueprint for what's next.
What was that again?
As AI grows more capable, let's become more capable humans, more discerning in what we delegate, more intentional in what we preserve, and more courageous in what we choose to become.
That's powerful.
So given that personal experience drives AI trust, and that emotional intelligence is now seen as the most powerful competitive advantage, here is something for you to mull over. How effectively are organizations currently measuring and rewarding true human capacities, like empathy, sincerity, and ethical judgment, in a way that the machines cannot automate? Thanks for joining the Deep Dive.